Alright, welcome back. Guys, we always try to close out the show by getting listener feedback. Playing voicemails, reading emails. Any kind of mail, really. If somebody sent me snail mail, I'd read it. If there was like a male stripper, he would be on the podcast.
Hate mail.
Hate mail.
Yeah, hate mail, we'd read that. Flame mail. Is flame mail? Flame mail's not a thing. Flame war. If we were in the middle of a flame war, I would read all of that to you. Say that again.
Female.
No, we don't allow females on the show.
What?
That's what? You're talking about that movie, The Iron Lady. It's, you know, fee is iron, and then male.
Oh my gosh.
You were impressed with how my mind worked on that one, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we didn't get any emails from anyone. However, we did get a voicemail.
Yay.
And can you guys guess who it was from?
Steven.
Just, okay, yeah. Well, I was going to say take a wild guess, but you guessed it before I could ask that. So, Steven, our number one listener, number one audience participation. I'm going to say expert. He's a participation expert at this point.
Also, he, a haiku contest winner.
Right. Oh, crap. All right.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Okay. Okay, here's an impromptu Kyle apologizes segment. So impromptu set?
Yeah.
It was prompted.
Yeah, it was prompted.
So we weren't planning on it. We weren't planning on it. That's the point. So I need to apologize to all of the haiku contest enterers. Because I told you that I was going to send you all of this, all the fabulous prizes. I want to say that was like 5 episodes ago. And what happened is, I got busy for like 2 days, and if I don't think about something for 2 days, I forget for 6 weeks. that's why all of the registration and all that stuff is not up to date on my car for a year. It's out of date by a year. Because when I try to go find the DMV and I can't find it, and I try to do that 2 days in a row and I can't do it, then I just forget about it. Also, the haiku or Poetry for Dummies book that I bought I just discovered it this morning. It was under a pile of clothes on my dresser. And so I couldn't even see that to remind me. So I feel really bad about this. I apologize. I know I said that I would send this out. At this point, I'm not entirely sure when it's going to get to you because I know that Melanie and Josh are moving soon. When are you guys moving?
We are moving on June 5th, but we will be moving to very near Becca and Steven, and we will see Mom like a week and a half after. Well, we'll see her when you see her, if you go to the baby shower. So we could postpone this to June.
Yeah. I'll come to the baby shower. I'll bring all this stuff with me. We can do a regular transfer of property to you guys and you guys can sign all that stuff, write your haiku. And then instead of involving the United States Postal Service or FedEx, instead of keeping the economy going, we'll just do it by hand.
Yeah.
But again, I am really sorry about not being on top of that. I don't really, I mean, I had an excuse, but it's not a good excuse. So, so yeah. But anyway, thank you for bringing the show down, Melanie. First of all,
that was me. That was my
it
fault.
Yeah, it was Josh.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, sorry. Every time something goes wrong, I just blame Melanie. So Josh, I mean, that was a good catch. So thanks. We would have missed it if it wasn't for you. Let's go ahead and play this voicemail because now I'm just rambling.
Hey guys, Steven again. just wanted to share a little thing. I didn't want. I'm taking a break from working on building Josh and Elephant so at the house. Or helping. And all I could think the whole time is, I hope you guys like it, because you know how I feel about my legs, and I've been using my legs like crazy. So I was hoping to ask that Mel or Josh would tell the story. I don't remember exactly what happened. This is part of my memory problem. I just remember Zach calling Melanie a racist.
God.
I was hoping I'd get to hear that story. I hope you guys are having a good week. And this phone call has gotten awkwardly long because I'm not really saying anything. So I'm sharing my awkwardness with you. But, I guess that's fine. Bye.
Okay, so before you guys explain when Zach called Melanie a racist.
I don't want to tell this story.
Well, you might end up telling it, and then I might edit that part out if it's too bad. But before we get there, I'm curious how you guys know what Steven feels about his legs.
I think that's a better story.
It is a better story. Because it's at Steven's expense.
Right.
Well, what you should know is that Steven hates his legs.
He hates them?
Well, do you want to tell the story? Because I wasn't actually there. I heard about it later.
I wasn't there either.
Oh, you weren't there either?
No, it was just Zach and Steven. There's really not a lot to tell. It was that I think Steven was, his legs were really tired or something like that. Like, he was having some sort of leg pain. And he said in an elevator with Zach, I believe is what it was, that he hated his legs. And there just happened to be someone behind him in a wheelchair.
Oh, God.
So, I think that's the story.
Oh, yeah. Wow. okay, well, yeah, that would be awkward, because I'm sure that Steven didn't mean it as if to say, why do we have legs?
Right.
Nobody would ever want their legs.
That's my assumption, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that story was actually a lot quicker than I thought it was going to be, so Melanie, now you have to tell your racist story.
Okay, well, I just want to make something very clear.
That you're not a racist? That's something a racist would say.
No. What I want to make clear is that when you're hanging out with Zach...
He makes you say racist things?
No, well, so Zach has a particular sense of humor where he will say racist things sarcastically to make fun of people who are racist.
Right.
And so when you hang out with him, I know other people do this too, but he seems to do it, or he did it fairly frequently when we were hanging out with him. And so sort of like keeping up with the joking, I did this, like the one time I think I've ever done it. Probably that's not true, but, but I said a joke and was saying it sarcastically. And then he called me a racist because of it. So what happened was he had said something about earlier in the day. He had said something about how like the Woodlands or somewhere has no black people. That it's all white people.
Uh huh.
And so then later in the day, we were walking, across campus to like leave or whatever. And, he said something about some sort of crime that had happened in the Woodlands. And I said, oh, wait, I thought you said no black people lived there, which is a terrible thing to say. But I was just joking, and not joking in a racist way, but joking in a let's make fun of racists kind of way. Like, I didn't mean it, obviously.
Right.
But then rather than like him sort of playing off of it, or anybody else we were walking with, he said, "Oh, that's so racist." And then a black girl was walking behind us, and I don't know if she heard what I said, but it made me feel really bad.
Was he joking when he called you a racist? Was that like part of the joke?
Well, he was joking, but he was trying to make me feel bad. And then he's the one who pointed out that there was a black girl behind us.
Right.
I think he was trying pretty successfully to make you feel bad.
He was.
that sort of pretending to be sort of like, it's almost like a straw man argument, where you sort of become something, you sort of become a caricature of the thing that you're making fun of. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And especially, like, it's okay, I think, when you're, like, around your friends and everyone knows you're joking. Unless you just say something, like, really bad. Like, there are certain words, like, you would never say the N-word, regardless of if you were joking or not. You wouldn't, at least, I hope you wouldn't say the F-word, the homosexual slur, F-word, because some words are just hurtful no matter what the context is. But yeah, I think, like, making a joke to make fun of a group of bigots is normally okay.
Right, but it's when the stranger behind you doesn't know you're joking.
right. Yeah, that's definitely, there are, you can say something that in your group of friends is fine, but when there's somebody who's not in your group of friends who heard you say it, you just sound like a racist, or you can't sound like a racist, or a bigot, or whatever.
Right. And see, and even now, I'm like, well, it wasn't even a funny thing to say. Like, even if you're making fun of bigots, it's not even funny. Like, so I wouldn't even say it again, even if I thought the right people would understand what I was doing. But.
Right.
Because it made me feel so bad.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, there's lots of stuff that I said in my younger days, not even like super long ago, like even maybe like a year or 2 years ago, where I have said like insensitive things to people who know that I'm not like an insensitive person, but I still felt really bad about it.
Sure.
And or thinking back about it now, I feel really bad about it. So.
Right. So thanks a lot, Steven. Bringing it up and making me feel bad.
Can I tell you about something similar that happened to me? It was when I was working at UCS in College Station. Uh-huh. Like my fourth year at Texas A&M. So at the time, I didn't really like Mormons very much. Or at least I thought their religion was stupid. Now I don't care what your religion is. You can believe whatever you want and it doesn't bother me. But at the time I thought that Mormonism was like a really stupid thing to believe in. But if you think about it, every religion has a really stupid thing, a set of stupid things where, it's fine to believe that stuff. But if you think about it logically without the context of this was written by God or whatever, it sounds stupid.
Right.
So, I was at work, and I said something like, "Did you guys catch that episode of South Park where they talk about what Mormons actually believe?" Like, I can't believe anyone is so stupid to believe that. And then I found out later that the guy that like works, like maybe 15 feet away from me, like on another team, was Mormon.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know. I felt really bad about it, And thinking back at it now, it's not something, even if I was, like, only with friends, I shouldn't have said it anyway. Because who cares what people believe?
Right. Well, and this is why I don't like it when strangers come up and talk to me about politics and stuff.
Right.
Because they don't know what I believe or what I care about.
Yeah.
No, they can tell by looking at you.
Well, I guess the point is, you should, if it's something like that and you feel bad, then maybe you've learned something from it. I certainly have learned from situations like that, and I usually don't repeat them. So.
Right. Right. Now the only religious group that I hate is Scientology. I'm mostly kidding.
I went to the Scientology Museum when I went to Hollywood one time.
Oh, yeah? Did they talk about the time that they tried to steal IRS documents from the U.S. government?
No. No, it was mostly about...
And L. Ron Hubbard's wife and, like, six high-ranking church members, like, went to prison for it. They didn't talk about that?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm doing it again. I should stop.
No, they just had, like, a bunch of his personal belongings on display and a bunch of stuff about his sci-fi books.
Right. Have you guys ever seen Battleship Earth? Battlefield Earth? Battleship Earth.
I think
who could make that mistake?
Wait, is that the one with John Travolta with the really weird facial hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones. I haven't... no, I didn't see the movie. I read the books.
I actually hear the book or books were okay, but the movie was just awful.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So anyway.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I don't actually know enough about Scientology to make any comment on it, but from the little I do know, it really does feel like one of those where it feels a lot more like a scam than a religion, but I probably shouldn't comment on it either because I don't actually know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know a lot about it either. And a lot of it is sort of secretive, like where they don't want you to know about it unless you're like in the church. So
right.
That's part of it. So, but yeah, still people believe it and people are free to believe whatever they want. Even if you or I or, you know, somebody who believes in another religion thinks it's stupid. But there was a phase in my life where I was very, very anti, Scientology.
I think people are free to believe what they want until it means that they're marrying, like, teenage girls. Like 12 right. and 13-year-old girls.
You're free to believe whatever you want if it doesn't infringe on other people's rights.
Well, that's like,
or take advantage
okay.
of people like that.
I love when they have those documentaries about cults on, like, National Geographic. Like, have you ever watched any of those?
Maybe.
They're so weird and addictive. I watched this one about this guy who ran a cult in like northern New Mexico. And I don't remember his name, but a lot of people have probably heard of him. But he and his son like ran this cult together, and he was sort of like the leader, and his son was sort of like his like right hand man and was like helping him and stuff. And his son was like an adult. And the son married a woman, I think within the cult. And then his father said that he had been told by God that he had to sleep with his son's wife.
That the father had to?
Yeah. And so he did. And like, and was like fully transparent about it and was like, God told me to do this. And the son, and they like had like the son on the cam, like on speaking on camera and other various people speaking on camera. And when the son got to that part, he was like, clearly upset about it. Like he loved his wife, right? But he like also was like his father's like biggest defender. And so he was like trying to like explain how it was okay that his father was like sleeping with his wife. It was really weird.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to get too far into, like, religion, but if you truly believe that God is talking to you or God is talking to somebody who you, you know, trust and believe, like, directly talking to them, you will do any crazy thing.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's just weird that it almost always has something to do with sex.
I know. It's always like, oh, virgins. I need 13 virgin wives. Or, like... I need to sleep with my son's wife. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is.
But I love those cult documentaries. They're awesome.
Yeah, because it always ends like happily, right?
It usually ends in a court case.
it never ends with like people drinking like cyanide punch.
Right, like the Jonestown.
Yeah. It always or like with like a building burning down with like all the people inside of it. Never ends that way.
Right.
It's always a happy ending.
Well, this one, yeah, like Waco. Well, no, they're usually, yeah, they usually don't end horribly like the, like that kind of stuff. No, but in this particular one, the father, he like predicted the apocalypse basically, or the rapture or whatever. And of course it didn't happen. And so they kept filming, and basically it was like, nothing happens. And then the narrator is like, well, or maybe the guy was like actually there speaking to the camera, but he was like, well, doesn't seem anything's happening. And like the time had passed, and then, and it was like the middle of the night. And then like all of the people in the cult just started like chanting and yelling and like skipping in the dark. And they go like skipping by the cameras. And then the explanation is like something like it was a different kind of rapture or something.
Yeah. They said that the leader had been transformed.
Right.
But apparently it was some sort of transformation you can't see.
Right.
Like a transubstantiation kind of thing.
Yeah. Something like that. And so they were just like skipping around and like celebrating, but like on camera, obviously you couldn't see that anything had changed. So
right. So it's like it wasn't like your apocalyptic rapture. It was like a happy rapture where nothing changes. Like the excitement is that the world doesn't end.
Yeah.
I think if everyone would just live their life, you know, you wake up expecting the rapture, but then it doesn't happen. I think everyone would be much happier.
That might be true. Unless you were really counting on the rapture to, like, save your soul.
Yeah, or like if you went in, you know, you went into massive debt because you expected the rapture the next day.
Right, like if you were to buy, like, billboards.
Right.
That says, like, the rapture's coming and you spend your life savings on it.
Yeah, then you might not be so happy.
Yeah. Well, so live your life as if the rapture is coming every day, but then it doesn't come. But don't spend any money on it.
Right.
So don't really live your life like the rapture is coming. Just live your life like everything's normal, like the earth is going to continue to exist for like a billion years.
Yeah. That's good advice.
All right. Well, I hope that answers your question, Stephen. I don't think he had a question. Okay. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for the show. Thank you, Stephen, for sending in another voicemail. We look forward to that every week, which is my way of telling you that you can't ever stop ever. Also, if you guys want to call in, the voicemail number is 914-40-SHAME. You can just dial that in. Wait until I say something really stupid, like something about being immortalized in podcasting history, I think is what I set that up as. Wait until I say all that stuff and then leave your message. It can be an embarrassing story. It could be something that happened to you that's maybe not embarrassing. If you feel like it, you could send us a haiku. The contest is over, but you could still send it in if you want to. Or you can just call in to say hey. Or you could call in and make breathing noises. We don't really care. You can also email us at shamechronicles. Well, I shouldn't say at, because at is in the email address. You can email us. The address is shamechronicles@gmail.com. We have a website. It's shamechronicles.com. That's probably where you have been listening to the show. But if you haven't ever noticed before, at the upper right-hand corner, we have contact information. So just, you know, click the email link. It'll open up your email program with the right address to send us mail. Phone numbers there too. So, send us your stories, send us your calls, and, we'll play them on the show. Guys, do you have anything else you wanted to mention before we wrap this up?
No.
I'm good.
All right. Philip Stephen Hoffman. That's all I'm going to say.
Stephen.
isn't that what we came up with last time?
Because yeah,
because
right.
We want them both to be on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Thank you.